This is the KPTZ Compass, your local news magazine for the Northeast Olympic Peninsula. This week on the Compass, we talk with a peace activist who is disappointed that the charge against him for his act of civil disobedience was so lenient. And we visit with the organizers of a unique annual event that celebrates community while preparing for disaster. So now let's go inside the Compass.
You were charged with disorderly conduct, I believe?
Yes, sir.
And it was amended to the infraction.
Peace activist, carpenter, and occasional candidate for Congress Doug Milholland was disappointed when the charges for an act of civil disobedience he had hoped would result in a jury trial were reduced to an infraction and he was let off without even a fine by District Court Judge Jill Landis on August 8th. Milholland told the judge he had hoped that he would be charged in federal court for a Father's Day protest in which he blocked the main entrance to Naval Magazine Indian Island, the West Coast's largest munitions transfer depot, for about an hour, a protest that was the subject of a previous Compass program. Traffic court wasn't exactly the forum he had hoped for.
Yes, well, I would prefer the disorderly conduct original charge of misdemeanor, Your Honor, because I would like to have a jury trial about the clear and present dangers I see attendant to the continual use of the base, and talk about the underlying principles of law that govern states, Nuremberg principles.
Understood. Here's how it goes. There are three branches of government, the legislative, the executive, and the judicial. The executive branch of government is the one responsible for charging people with crimes. If they choose to amend it, the judicial branch really can do nothing about it unless it seemed to be something outrageous. I didn't see that this was outrageous. I can't unamend it. It's their prerogative to charge with what they think is appropriate. So, yeah. So I can't do anything about that. All I can do is listen to the infraction as written. Which is pedestrian on the roadway.
Well, I certainly was in the roadway.
Okay, yeah, seems like it. So I'm going to find that it's committed. I don't even know what the fine is. Well, since the prosecutor didn't bother to put a fine down, I'm going to go ahead and there is no fine for you. So it's just going to be committed as a pedestrian on a roadway, and that's that.
I caught up with Milholland for a short interview as he and the small group of Quakers who had come to show their support left the courtroom. So were you surprised by the judge's finding?
No. I did ask for it to be a more serious charge, and the judge said that she had no choice in the matter. I didn't know that.
It's not her authority to actually, like, decide what charges are brought against you.
That's correct. So I am faced with a misdemeanor non-charge, an infraction charge, and no one bothered to write down how much that might be, so I have been asked to pay no money. I would have paid. I asked clarification about whether or not the county has jurisdiction over federal properties, and the judge said that in certain cases they do. If by invitation, the sheriff is invited. So I don't get a jury trial, which is fine. I now have completed this act of exploring the footsteps of my mentors, Martin Luther King and Mahatma Gandhi. It's a challenging role to look at. Their actions were profound, and they changed the world. From my point of view, people need to act to change the world. That's where we are. We have to find a path towards peace. The propensity of process that moves us towards the next war is in place. The wheels are moving. And another war, especially if it involves the Russian people, could be so catastrophic And it, from my point of view, it's unnecessary. But that is a case that I get to take to the people, and it's something that we have to consider as a group. I mean, what do we do? This act is over.
So you're not contemplating escalating this and committing something that would be more dramatic or serious?
At this point, no. I'm going to offer my reflections to the people in a written form, and in the form of letters to the editors. I'll work with sharing my concerns with my elected officials, and I'm grateful that I've had an opportunity to bring this question, the question of governance and militarism, to a point of focus on the days of August 6th through 8th, the days when Hiroshima and Nagasaki were bombed 71 years ago. If we as a people act to say no to war, we can avert the coming wars. But somehow we must wake up, and my action was designed to help do that. And thank you for listening.
With peace activist Doug Milholland at the Jefferson County Courthouse, this is Steve Evans reporting for KPTZ Community Radio News. Building resilience by building community might be the slogan for the All County Picnic, an annual event unique to Jefferson County, now entering its fourth year and slated for this Sunday. Originally conceived by grassroots sustainability group Local 2020, most of the logistics for the picnic have been handled from the beginning by Danny Milholland and Thunderbolt Productions, in close cooperation with Jefferson County's Office of Emergency Management. I met recently with Milholland and OEM Director Bob Hamlin in the Big Situation Room at the Port Townsend Fire Station to talk about plans for this year's picnic. All right, I'm here today with Danny Milholland, who is the proprietor of Thunderbolt Productions, and Bob Hamlin, who is the manager of the emergency operations operation of Jefferson County. And we're here today to talk about the All-County Picnic, which is, what is this? This is the fourth?
This is the fourth annual All-County Picnic, which will be held on August 21st out at H.J. Carroll Park. And it's a celebration of community resilience and emergency preparedness that is put on by the Department of Emergency Management and Local 2020. And Thunderbolt Productions has also been involved since kind of the first year we put it on. So it's a big collaborative community picnic.
Right. It's also kind of just a nice party and get together. I've really enjoyed the county picnic myself. And Bob, you've been involved in this from the beginning as well, haven't you? Weren't you here the first year?
Well, yeah, I'm very pleased to have been a partner in this particular activity. When we first started out, we had no idea where we were going to go with it, what it was going to look like, or whether anybody was going to come. And boy, we were really surprised. If we have any turnout this time like we've had the last three times, it's going to be a blast. Because it's an odd thing. We're talking about some heavy-duty subject, you know, disaster preparedness, in a picnic. I mean, that's just a mix, and it doesn't work. And when they first broached the idea, I thought, no, that's not a good idea. And works. It works really well.
Can we talk a little bit about, what has measurably come out of the previous All-County Picnics? I mean, do we know how many new neighborhood groups have been formed, or what the results have been?
Mm-hmm. Those statistics are available. Off the top of my head, I believe there's been about 20 new neighborhoods per year that have, generated some, neighborhood preparedness, people stepping up to organize their neighborhood. And what that's kind of, it varies depending on the leadership and the person and the neighborhood itself on how organized they actually become. Some neighborhoods in Jefferson County are extremely organized and get together weekly or monthly to, connect and check in about resources and check in about, how people are doing in the neighborhood, so they can be prepared in case of a massive earthquake or tsunami or a small scale, windstorm that, takes down trees and so on in the neighborhood. So there is that Generally speaking, we've been drawing about 1,000 people per picnic to come out and attend the event, and to be able to measure the relationships and information that's shared and built during the picnic would be really difficult. But I think the statistics, we're looking at about 1,000 people per year, and in the neighborhood of 20 new organized neighborhoods per year.
And I guess you wouldn't really know whether those are the same 1,000 people each year, or if you're getting new people in each year.
There's definitely a mix. There's definitely some people that have embraced this as an annual tradition, and we also every year get new people coming up to us and saying, "Wow, this is such a cool event," you know. So it's definitely a mix of people.
Yeah. Well, so Bob, how has this community organizing sort of figured in with your plans and strategies for dealing with an emergency in the county?
Right, kind of by complete surprise. I was originally approached a number of years ago by 2020 in its infancy. I think it's about 10 years old now, 2020 is.
That's right.
And I was approached.
Just had their 10th anniversary.
Yeah. I was approached early on in their existence about partnering in the preparedness area, that being a logical next step for resilience, community resilience. And I was a little skeptical because that's a really tough, we're talking about a really soft subject and a really hard subject of mixing the two somehow together. And so I was concerned and reluctant to really do that, but agreed, I'm gonna give it a try. This jumping from then to now, we have 140 plus identified neighborhoods, some of them very active, extremely active, some of them not so active, but 140 plus, maybe close to 150. That, if you look at the population and the ratio in counties around us, that is an incredible amount of activity. There's a lot of interest there. Well, the picnic is sort of the celebration of that. A lot of them go to that just to be a part of, a visible part of that movement, if you would. And so in terms of who goes to the picnic, I thought, okay, after the first time, you've been there, you've done that, you went through the little tent, you found out how to do the flashlights and the batteries and whatever, you're not going to come back and do that again because that's not rocket science. Well, then the next year was bigger and more fun. And the next year was bigger and more fun, and they changed how the tents were and how the entertainment worked, and they learned a little bit each one. And I think it's going to be just as fun this time around, particularly with the weather looking like it's going to stay really good weather. And, you can talk about difficult things and have fun, and that's just weird. It really surprised me, but they do have a good time. So I'm looking forward to it. It's starting to be, as Annie says, a tradition, really, more than anything else. It's sort of expected. I think if we didn't have it, we'd probably get some
disappointment.
Yeah, that would be a lot of disappointment.
Well, so how is it changing this year, Danny? I mean, there's going to be some different things, I hear.
Yeah, there's definitely, we're sticking to the same location, which, we thought about a lot of different ways that it could be changed. We've thought about migrating the event to other venues. We've thought about doing it as an every other year event. But this year, what we're doing, we're going to keep it at H.J. Carroll Park. It's from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., as it has been the past couple years. And this
on
year,
what date? I'm sorry.
August 21st. And so this year, one new thing we're doing is a follow-up from Cascadia Rising, which was this big exercise Bob could talk about a little bit that took place in June. And we'll be hearing from many of our local emergency responders and elected officials kind of how that exercise went and sort of getting a rundown on what would our local agencies be doing in 48 hours into a massive earthquake. So that's exciting. I'm excited about hearing about that. A new piece, we're going to do a miniature golf course this year. That's new.
Really?
We have a...
Was that a preparedness golf course? I'm not sure how that works.
It fits in the fun, you know, make connections, have a good time component of the picnic, which is really critical to the success of the picnic. Another cool thing we're doing this year is what we're calling an earthquake relay, but it's more just a community relay where we'll be shucking corn, hauling water, and assembling this kind of community resource puzzle.
Shucking corn on the assumption that actually the disaster is going to happen in the summertime during the harvest season.
You never know. You never know. But, you know, ultimately it's about making connections, having fun, building community. A lot of these activities are about, you know, networking, and there's a great opportunity to, you know, meet your sheriff. Do you know who's on the police department? You know, a lot of people don't know who their county commissioners are or their city council members are. So there's one of the most important and kind of critical parts of this event is just networking, meeting your neighbors and meeting your, you know, your community leaders. There's also this year going to be a candidates booth for political candidates that are running. So there'd be an opportunity to, you know, meet the people that are, you know, proposing to become elected officials. So it's a really cool kind of event that brings us together around a topic that, yes, it's challenging, but it's universal. It's not a politically charged topic, really. It's something that we can all, you know, agree upon that it's, you know, we need to be prepared for emergencies and disasters.
So, Bob, what did come out of Cascadia Rising as a sort of takeaway message about, like, community organization? I mean, you know, what were the things that you sort of learned about the help that people can expect from the police and fire and so on, as opposed to the kind of help they might be providing one another at that time?
You know, Cascadia Rising scenario is a scary scenario. And of course, it goes all the way from a minor to extremely major, depending upon, you know, a whole lot of variables.
Why don't we just say what Cascadia Rising is? Well, what's the scenario?
The scenario of Cascadia Rising is a simultaneous full rip rupture of the Cascadia subduction zone off the coast of Washington and resulting 9.0 earthquake and tsunami. That's a pretty scary scenario. You hear a lot of times folks say everything west of I-5 is going to be toast. Maybe not toast. If toast, maybe Melba toast, but not quite as it is not a fun scenario. And so we're melding this into to the picnic discussion is going to be a really interesting thing. But the takeaway for us is exactly what the picnic's all about. You're on your own. We were absolutely astounded during the exercise of how few resources we had and how few resources we're going to have for how long we're going to be out without them. So yo-yo, you're on your own. And that's going to have to be the message, that neighborhood resilience, the collective activities that have to occur person to person, that's going to be it for a long time. And that was the biggest takeaway for me was this is not only on target, it's bang on target. We're on our own for a long period of time. We like to say flippantly, 911, I'm sorry, but nobody's coming. That's true for a long, long period of time. We just don't have the resources.
In the Cascadia Rising scenario, for example, how long was it before adequate food supplies were arriving?
Yep. We're saying 3 to 5 weeks, probably, maybe longer.
3 to 5 weeks. So people need to have a lot of food stowed away.
Absolutely. And mechanisms to work collectively and cooperatively. That's the only way it's going to work. You can't do it entirely on your own. And these are all wild-ass guesses that in terms of how long it's going to be, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 7 weeks. 3-week preparedness window is a really good target for neighborhoods. And that's a doable thing. It's not easy, but it is doable. And a 3-week target is pretty what our message is.
What's that you're unfolding there, Danny? Oh, he's got a beautiful sort of blue bandana here that says Jefferson County, Washington Resilience All County Picnic, and all sorts of slogans around the side here, which maybe you could read that one to me, Bob.
Well, it says know your neighbor's skills, know your neighbor's skills and resources. Have a plan, shelter in place, or evacuate if located in a tsunami inundation zone. Establish a meeting place if separated. Yeah.
And so on around. So,
Store 21 days worth of non-perishable dry food. Consume food in the refrigerator first, then freezer, then pantry. More information at www.l2020.org. So this bandana's got a bunch of sort of guidelines and, you know, ideas for emergency preparedness in case of a, you know, major disaster. Plus it's this got this gorgeous art that was designed, the whole bandana was designed by local artist Annalisa Borelli. And we're selling these to raise money to cover the cost of the picnic. So for $10, you can get a bandana. We're trying to make this event, one of the things we've struggled with is funding. And we're trying to make this event as community-owned as possible. So this bandana kind of represents an opportunity for the community to buy into the picnic at a, you know, nominal donation. And take something home that is representative of, you know, our community resilience, and the, you know, artistic community that we are. So it's pretty cool.
Over on the other side here, there's one that says, "Who is your ham, and do you nixel?" What does that mean?
So ham
sounds a little creepy.
Ham radio will be. There's a lot of people in Jefferson County that use ham radio, and it's a kind of an old school form of communication that will be around if there's no cell phone towers, if there's no, you know, internet. You could still ham radio. As neighborhoods, it's important that you find out who in your neighborhood is using ham radio.
How do we find that out?
Come to the picnic. There's a bunch of there'll be a bunch of ham radio operators at the picnic, as well as information about, you know, who in which neighborhoods there are ham radio operators. And then Nixel is a text message kind of tool that the Department of Emergency Management uses on a regular basis to relay information on, you know, accidents and weather, you know, extreme weather reports, and just kind of communication tool that is used on a regular basis. So you can sign up at the picnic to use Nixel.
Actually, as the news director for KPTZ, I can tell you it really is useful. I've been signed up for it since I first found out about it, and it has actually really saved me a lot of inconvenience on a number of times, telling me when the Hood Canal Bridge was out, and when roads were blocked along the, you know, like the course that I was taking by fallen trees or whatever. So that's a really useful thing. And how do you sign up for Nixel, Bob?
Nixel is an SMS or a standard text messaging system. And you can go to our website, which is jeffcoeoc.org, jeffcoeoc.org. And in the upper right-hand corner of the front page is a little phone. Just click on the phone. It'll go immediately to a sign up, and it'll show you exactly what you need to do after that. This Nixel is a surprise. It was started by me as an experiment a few years ago. It was at the time free, sort of a loss leader. I now pay for it considerably, but it just took off, and we have 5,000 or 6,000 subscribers now. It's a huge number of people, percentage wise of the community. And then of course it's rebroadcast on your station. Rebroadcast it. There's a number of emails that re-email it, so it reaches a whole lot of people. Mm-hmm. And I hear back all the time from people who are very appreciative of it. We're very careful with what we use on it. I make the decision as to whether or not the button gets pushed, and we're pretty careful. We don't do it after hours if it's something fairly minor. so we don't bother folks if we don't have to. But it's usually something that's universally impacts the community. Major road closures, the bridge closure the other day with the broken bridge, very important information. It impacts our livelihood, but it also impacts our economy and our lifestyle. So that's what we use as our criterion. Realizing it's technology-based, and there's always problems with technologies in major emergencies, probably not going to be very useful after the Cascadia, because it is based on the cell phone network. But it's still a viable system, and it's free to the subscriber.
Oh, it does work on a messaging system, though, and that works a lot better than voice because just in the little gaps in between, you know, a text message can go out and be received. So, well, and that radio station, of course, that you referred to is KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, and we have been for the last several years working closely with the Emergency Operations Center to develop the capacity for emergency broadcasting out of the center in the event of an emergency. There's a unit embedded in the center. And we have just about run out of time, so I want to thank you both for taking the time today, Danny and Bob Hamlin of the Emergency Operations Management System in Jefferson County, and we've been talking about the all-county picnic.
I have a question for you. Yeah. Are you going to be at the picnic?
I'll be there.
Good.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks.
Once again, the all-county picnic will be held from 11 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon this Sunday, June 21st, at H.J. Carroll Park in Chimicum. With Thunderbolt Productions proprietor Danny Milholland and Office of Emergency Management Director Bob Hamlin, this is Steve Evans reporting for KPTZ Community Radio News. This week's KPTZ Compass was written and produced by Steve Evans. The Compass airs Mondays and Saturdays at noon, Tuesdays at 5 p.m., and Wednesdays at 10 a.m., exclusively here on KPTZ, the home of eclectic, authentic community radio. You can listen to podcasts of past Compass programs at the kptz.org website, where you can also stream KPTZ live 24 hours a day. KPTZ Compass is dedicated to going into the community to bring the stories from the community to the attention of the rest of the community. If you're a community-minded person and consider yourself something of a storyteller besides, perhaps you'd like to join us. We stand ready to train promising people in the subtle arts of radio journalism. If you think this might be the right kind of creative work for you, please stop by the station at the Mountain View Commons to talk with us and fill out a volunteer application. And remember, if you have a news tip or story idea of any kind, send an email to news@kptz.org. That email again for news tips is news@kptz.org. For the news team here at KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, I'm Steve Evans.